MSU Today is online at SpartanPodcast.com. Here's Russ White.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Michigan State University President Luana Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis with MSU's two golf coaches. Casey Lubon coaches the men, and Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll coaches the Spartan ladies.
Welcome to the show. It's great to have two of our outstanding coaches with us, one coming off a Big Ten championship and one we welcome back. So Casey and Stacy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thanks
for having us.
Let's open up with a championship. It's, you know, it's always great. That's what we're going after, our championships. And talk a little bit about that, but as you're doing it, I'd also like you to talk about yourself a little bit and do a little comparison between the success you've had as an individual and the success you've had with our Spartan team.
Well, the individual championship or my success as a player is definitely takes a backseat to anything we've accomplished for the team at Michigan State. And there's nothing better than being with a group of people that all have the same goals and the same interests, knowing how hard each of them have worked to accomplish something, and having Caroline hole that last putt in Chicago to know that we won the Big Ten championship title. It doesn't happen enough, and when it does happen, it's just an outstanding feeling, and the hugs and the crying and everything that goes along with it is just awesome. And watching a group of young women not only excel in the classroom, but then also on the golf course, and watching the workouts and the time that it takes to build a team and to have the team chemistry be right and to have the scoring just... It's hard to do, and I know Izzo always says that people don't understand how hard it is to win a championship, because in a lot of ways, everything has to fall into place. And we're competing against the reigning national champion, mm-hmm. not Big Ten champion, the reigning national champion, with no players lost on Purdue's team. So to beat them was a tremendous opportunity that we had in front of us. And Amy Neff, who was our senior at the time, had not had a Big Ten ring, and we've really, and this was the third Big Ten championship that I've won as a coach, and Mary had won five, so I'm still chasing her to get to that five. But Amy was just a very special player for our program, and we did not want her to walk out of Michigan State or graduate from Michigan State without a ring, and really that was one of the biggest motivations that we had as a team, was doing it for Amy. And Natalie, as a fifth-year senior, Natalie Brehm had a ring, even though she wasn't part of that six-person team that won it. But watching her and knowing how hard she has worked as a walk-on ends up being a Big Ten champion and playing a very pivotal part in that in the win. So it's just an amazing feeling, and we have the rings, and we're going to be presenting them soon in the next couple of weeks. And just opening up that box and seeing the Spartan and seeing the diamonds and seeing champion, it just means a lot. And to me, that's why I coach. But for those players, knowing that they're going to have that ring and those memories for the rest of their life is really neat. And knowing that we did it all at Michigan State it's an awesome feeling. And a lot of it is hard to explain. And no one will ever forget how hard we hugged each other, how many tears, or how fast the van got home that night from Chicago.
I think one of the great things about a golf program is how it reaches out way beyond those that have the opportunity to watch the event live, but how a golf team really embraces so many more people. I know you had a special guest, one of our athletes who's coming back to campus this fall, but I know it really reaches out to so many other people that really embrace. If you could talk about maybe Catherine joining you and some of the other opportunities that our team has as far as reaching the Spartan brand across the nation.
Definitely. Well, Amy Neff was roommates with Catherine Mahoney her freshman year. And so they were extremely good friends. And actually this year, our fifth-year senior, Maddie Massa, will be rooming with Catherine when she comes back to MSU, if she's not back already. And so Catherine is from Chicago. She did all her rehab in Chicago. And so we were trying to figure out if we were going to have the time to go see her or to have dinner with her, or if she could come out to the golf course. And really, her and her parents decided that they wanted to come out and see everyone play. So she came out, and I was a little worried just because of the emotional, feelings that the kids were going to have with her being there. And, you know, we had every sport on campus had sent her something throughout the year. We all were assigned a week. And so our kids knew her so well that she wanted this pink nail polish, and she has this attachment to penguins. So we went and got this penguin book. And so just knowing so much about her and then watching the players, when she got there, they stopped playing golf when they could and, you know, all went and saw her and hugged her. And I was worried about Amy because Amy's a senior and she was a roommate. They're, you know, very, very close friends. And it's emotional when you're trying to win a Big Ten championship. And but it all worked out great. And she got to her parents, wheeled her around on the car pass as much as they could. And she was out there for a long time watching us play. And it was just a very special moment. And it was neat that the Big Ten Network picked up on that.
They
and we had a little piece in our show, the championship show on her. And we're just excited that she's coming back to school and she's going to finish her degree. She's really an amazing person, and I think someone that really...
You may want to just take a moment and explain about Catherine, because not everyone who's listening may be aware.
Catherine was a gymnast on our team, a senior, and came down on her neck and had an injury that left her paralyzed from the waist down. And she's really embraced, you know, what Michigan State... the athletic department is so connected to her and lives through her in amazing ways. We've, you know, like the golf program, I think all of our teams have had an opportunity to reach out to her. We've made many visits, had our entire administrative staff stop and see her at her home, but it's going to be exciting to have her back on campus. She's an inspiration, you know, probably one of the top inspirations to me as an individual who's overcome adversity. And you know, I've seen her laugh and I've seen her cry, and she really pulls you along with her in amazing and a powerful way.
Well, and in case you'll have a chance to meet her now that you're back with us. But I want to ask a question to both of you, because most of us think, and people listening, think about golf as an individual sport. Listening to Stacy, it's very much a team effort. So how do you think about golf as a team effort, and how would you explain that to people who may not ever think about golf in those terms? They would think about you as having five individuals who sort of play by themselves, for themselves, and then it accumulates to a team. But there's really much more than that.
Certainly. You know, that's a good question. One of the things we talk a lot of with youngsters who don't – there's a trend going now where youngsters don't play high school golf. They're starting to play on their own more and more. So that team environment is really the first time in college when they get to it. That's a transition we're talking about, what our values and our system that I certainly would like to implement here. The biggest thing we do as a team is we hold each other accountable. You know, there's many times in this game, the pursuit of it is unending, as Stacy knows, that people aren't watching. You know, and sometimes teammates, you know, like the classic leaders on this campus and in the past, now Kirk Cousins and Mateen Cleaves, they're leaders first and foremost because they hold themselves accountable and their teammates accountable. So that's the first thing I start talking about when the team aspect really gets into it. As far as day-to-day activities, we're always encouraging them to pursue their own game. But there's workouts, there's travel, and we spend, I joke with the guys, I spend more time with them sometimes than my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of times we're together when we can push each other along. But it is an individual game, and it's a transition for these guys at this level to spend this much time with each other.
And I think for us, it's at Michigan, we talk about Michigan State golf, not Michigan State men, Michigan State women, and we've just really created a culture in our building out at the Rarick Center that there really is no I in team, and that how it's very cliche, but it's how it has to be. So our players understand that they're all shooting individual scores, but when we add them up, the team score is what really matters. And I think Caroline Powers, our junior, just really embraces that opportunity. And she had some struggles in the spring, even though she achieved so much as a Spartan, as a golfer. But she really just showed us how what she was accomplishing individually didn't really matter to her. What mattered was that we won the Big Ten championship, and that was really neat to see. And one thing that I think of immediately with that question is workouts are very important to us. So when we were in the weight room with Mike Vorkapich and Billy Burkhart, our two strength trainers, we're working on a lot of team-building things in there, so working together. And that's where they really learn. Golfers don't cheer for each other. We've never done that. We don't know how to do that. And in the weight room, we learn how to do that, and then we all become on, you know, we're one, and we're on the same page and working toward the same goals. And Vork and Billy make us do that in there and help us learn how to do that in there. And that's really, really helpful for us to, you know, coming together as a team. And I think, you know, we talk about it, like Casey said, on a daily basis, that we all need each other to be successful. We're going to have 15 players on the team this year and only five travel. Well, that's 10 young women on the team who need to be pushing those five who are traveling. So we're making sure that they're doing that, whether it be in the weight room, in the classroom, on the golf course. In some way, all 15 of the girls have to be pushing each other to achieve at the highest level.
The concept of team and golf came to light when the Ryder Cup was down at Oakland Hills, and I had an opportunity to go through the locker room while the event was going on. And each of the teams was provided with 10 or so rows of lockers. And the USA team, each individual golfer took a row. And the Europe team took one row and put their entire team within one small little cubicle. And it was interesting just to observe that and then watch how they blended together, I guess, out on the course. So it's it was a small thing, but it really resonated with me when I had that chance to see coming together, which was pretty cool.
The issue of ethics is something that the NCAA has been spending a lot of time on the negative side of that. Golf is a sport that really is built on personal ethics as well as team ethics. How do you talk with your players about the importance of that, not simply on the golf course, but as they go through life?
Well, that's a great question because it comes up in a lot of factors in golf, you know. When there are negative instances in our game, the golf world is very small, so that travels very quickly. You know, you could use any tour example who have had a run-in with something in the past. The rest of their career, it kind of hangs with them. So, obviously, there's a pretty strict line, and we don't need to talk about NCAA rules. We're talking about just human beings and doing the right thing. There's a pretty strict line in our game where if you break that moral code, it's a long road back.
Many say before you do business with somebody, play golf with them because they're going to treat their business the way they treat their game. And if they change their lie or they kick it out, that's the way they're going to deal with you and the way you play business.
Now, as you think about recruiting young players or watching young players, how do you begin to assess the ethics piece?
Well, and from our standpoint, we recruit based on three reasons in this order: character, grades, and talent. And so watching their character is number one to me. Where did they come from? What is their family like? What are their morals and their values? What systems are in place? And really the best way to understand that is emails and phone calls when we're allowed to do that. So the more you talk to a player, the more you learn about them through their high school coach, through other players. It is like Casey was saying, it's all a very small network. So every player that we're recruiting, always someone on our team will know that person and have a little, you know, bitty about him or her. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that learning process. And it takes time, and you get a sense right when you meet someone, you know, what you think of that person. And we try very hard to get the recruits on campus for unofficial visits. And we put that recruit in a position that they're with all 15 members of the team. And the older girls, you know, again, have their role of they are assigned first to talking to the player, talking to the parents. And then we just really talk among the team as what did you think? How did you feel about this person? If they played golf with them, you know, what were her actions? And golf, it's easy to see because they're going to hit a bad shot. And when they hit a bad shot, how do they react? If they're an angry person, it's hard for them to hold that anger back just because I'm watching or because Casey's watching. You know, they're going to show their true colors out on the golf course. So it's a process.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis and Michigan State University President Luanna Simon are talking with Michigan State's two golf coaches. Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll coaches the Spartan ladies, and Casey Lubon coaches the men.
Now, this is one of the advantages of both of you being pretty competitive golfers.
Yeah. Yes.
It's certainly, we draw on our own life experiences and how we would have handled that. To follow up on Stacy's point, you know, one of the interactions I love to watch is them, the prospect around their parents. Because it's a very tight-knit deal when they travel with their parents week to week, playing summer, and we see them week after week. How does that interaction? Because that interaction is going to model a little bit what my interaction or Stacy's interaction is going to be with them. And the second point there is kind of following up with Stacy. Sometimes when they shoot a bad score, those are the most important days to be there. You know, anyone can handle the good times and the adversities when we really see what we're going to get. One of the things we talk about in our team values is the determination. Well, no matter how well you play in this game, you lose at a very high rate. You know, Tiger Woods was winning at, what, a 50% rate there for a while. That's unprecedented. That still means he's losing half the time. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of adversity. A lot of times you got to get off the mat, pick yourself up, and that's what we're watching for.
And both of you, I want to go back to the, because you have, when I hear your players talk about you, they often relish the opportunity to compete against you in all of these tournaments. It's often, you know, it's one of the things that comes out most regularly in the newspaper and in conversations about how much they love the, that you've sustained the competitive spirit, Stacy in particular, and Casey, now that you're back with us, you still try to keep your game really sharp and take on these young guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's extremely important, and that's just all I know, because that's how I've coached for 14 years, is to be competitive. Number one, it allows me access to recruits, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing in the same tournaments recruits are playing in. Number two, it allows us to, for our players to understand that we are still in the trenches with them and understand what it's like to compete at a very high level. And that's very helpful. And then third, just with, you know, Mark always talks about our brand, and Casey and I being out there competing and doing things, that keeps us in the loop with competing and with donors and with new donors and with alumni. And so it's extremely helpful. Plus, yes, we are very competitive, so I still like to win, and that is important to me.
Plus, it helps EAD fundraise, because we bring them in, we play in events with some of our donors, and sometimes we get a hole in ones.
Or two holes in one. You've been very successful at fundraising. Fundraising is an important part for the university. As we try to find that margin of excellence, it's important for athletics, and it's often seen in a scandalous building for sports that have much more media attention, but it's been critical for golf as well at Michigan State. So you may have a chance to talk a bit about that.
Well, certainly. You know, one of the things that I talked to Mark about when we were talking about coming back here is I'm a marketing officer and a fundraiser all the time, you know. That doesn't ever end. I've played with more donors this week than what you'd probably think. You know, they always want to play with us. They want us to be involved. And I think that's our first piece of being fundraisers. We oftentimes, Stacy and I, are afforded the luxury of having a five-hour uninterrupted meeting with a donor or with someone who's connected to MSU or connected to donors who wants to be with us and wants to hear what we have to say. You know, in the business world, if you want to schedule a five-hour meeting, they're going to laugh you out of the room. But on the golf course, that's what you get. Mm-hmm.
With me. playing a pace.
another trend in our game we're trying to change.
Right.
But it also makes us, you know, part of, got the privilege of playing with Jake Boss on Sunday. You know, it helps us connect with the other coaches and the other people. You know, I know three of Jake's alums very well that I've met through golf, and now I'm helping him connect to them. So my vision as a fundraiser is obviously I'm going to look after the golf programs, but I'm also going to look after MSU athletics and see where we can make further connections through the sport of golf.
Well, I think it's easy when you have a product to sell, and that's really what I found in it. Is I've got a group of young women who are pretty darn impressive kids, and they're very good at what they do, and of course, golf being still today dominated by men, you know, men love to see these young girls who are small and petite hit the ball 260 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, of course, when they go on Big Break and they're successful, and we've got Casey and Rachel on Big Break, and we've got Sarah Brown out there. And, you know, that's exciting because now they're following something that's on national TV. They're following something that's successful. They're, you know, we have Golf Stat, which is live scoring to watch all of our tournaments that both the men's and women's team play in. And people just really embrace that and they enjoy it. So fundraising to me it's another way that we can, to me, spread the message and spread the word. And when you've got something that's successful, it's easy to do that. And golf, we are very fortunate that we're in a sport that so many people love to play, whether they're, you know, teenagers or 80 years old. That's what's so wonderful about our sport is you can play it forever. And people are very interested in it. So I found it, you know, the relationships that, that we've been able to create through golf are just really wonderful and very important to our program.
Now, there are lots of people listening to this program who have children in various stages of development who are thinking about sports for them. Soccer is the big sport now for little kids, it appears, and golf has been still strong but is not necessarily growing in the way that it has in the past. So what do you say to folks about why they should get their kids engaged in golf and what kinds of ways in which parents can help that development?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways in our state. We're very fortunate in the state of Michigan to have a really neat junior golf organization and lots of junior tournaments. And I think that parents who would like to get their kids involved in golf just have to search a little bit to find out if they don't belong at a country club, what's the local public course that maybe offers junior clinics or junior lessons. And then, of course, we see the kids who want to play at Michigan State. Of course, everyone wants to play. A lot of people want to play at Michigan State. And unfortunately, we can't accommodate anyone. But we run the Spartan Golf Camp, which is really helpful. And with 60 kids on campus, that's the message that we're trying to spread is we want the kids to understand this is a game for the rest of their life. It can help them in business. They can play until they're 85, 90 years old. And, oh, boy, look at all the opportunities that there are in college, not just at Michigan State, but so many schools just in the state of Michigan offer golf. So Casey and I are always trying to spread that message of, you know, golf is wonderful. And we get a lot of phone calls and emails of how to help kids get involved. And if, you know, you just use the internet and use your local paper, there's a lot of places where they can find that kids can get. Almost every golf course has a junior clinic or a junior camp that even the most inexperienced players can get involved with.
There's also some amazing tours in this state that give kids an opportunity to travel to amazing courses all over mid-Michigan, throughout Southeast Michigan. Right.
And the Game of Your Life Foundation Coldwater does a phenomenal job at having competitive golf available at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you know, golf, obviously, there's an economic factor that's tough to afford the game. You got organizations like the First Tee, mm-hmm. which have been very successful. Obviously, my wife been involved in that for a number of years. And you're talking about low-cost opportunities there. It's a game that teaches great values, and the mm-hmm. more people we expose to it, the better we're all going
to
be.
And parents start to get discouraged once their kids start beating them. That's the other part of it. Yeah.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
You're right. But I think that it's important, Casey, that you mentioned the First Tee program, because it is a program that no matter what your economic circumstances are, that young kids can participate. Mm-hmm. And it does teach, even if you're not very good at the game, the mental aspect of golf in terms of focus and other things that are very important, and also the ethics that go with golf are two very important things that even if your child never is very good at it or decides they don't like it after a while and want to take up something else, you can't find, I think, a sport better than golf for dealing with the mental focus as well as the ethics.
Absolutely. And I think just, you know, the two words that I always think of, honesty, integrity. And those are two things that, back to your question about how we instill that in our yeah. players, if they don't have that by the time they're 18 and walking onto our teams, you know, it's they better have that because they've played golf for so long already. So that's, you know, not something that we're hoping that in all our players they already are honest mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. have that integrity, and that's what we expect. And if they don't have that, it is a real issue.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things about the First Tee, to get back to that a little bit, which they teach you the nine core values. My wife would be upset if I couldn't rattle them off right now. But the first lesson that I think is so neat is they have them hit a golf shot, and they get all this buildup for a golf shot. But that's not the test. The test is they got to come up and give them a good firm handshake and look them in the eye while they're doing it. And that lesson can last anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. Now think about how important that is as you go on the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's the first lesson in the First Tee. A neat organization that's well run.
Well, and I think that's why I wanted to make sure we had the plug in for this, because I think golf is often seen as a game of country clubs or of people with more wealth. You know, growing up in rural Indiana, you know, playing on a not very sophisticated flat course, it does teach a lot of life lessons. And it was a sport that was, you know, at my age, very accessible to women.
My course was so rural. We had sand traps and cow traps. So it was
very similar, very similar. See, as athletic director, you have much more time to play golf than I do.
Yeah, we have been still talking about the getting out to the Fox right, putting green on your lunch hour.
Right? That's right. I have not actually. So this is not a very good conversation since I haven't picked up a golf club this summer. But it's been an interesting summer for work. But it's a game you can also come back to.
You can
pick it back up. But the main thing is mental conditioning, great integrity, and to be able to do a bit of physical stretching. And those are all good things for life no matter what.
Certainly.
Yeah. I think to close off here, we can't leave a show about golf without talking about the Michigan-Michigan State matchup. And, of course, it took 19 holes, but we pulled that one out. But the great part of that whole day was to watch men and women who used to compete for both institutions come back and lace up the golf shoes and put the colors on and compete, and the competitive energy that was out on that golf course on both sides was just phenomenal. And I think it was good for golf. I think it was good for both institutions. And Mr. Brandon down there is already plotting. They have 7 golf courses that are vying to host the event next year, and I think it's going to be bigger and better with each passing year. But it's another small opportunity for us to celebrate that game in these two great institutions. Mm-hmm. And we won.
And we won, and next year Casey and I are hoping to tee it up for the tournament.
I watched all 18 holes, a tense day. And having spent some time that evening with our alums who played, they were shocked at what they were feeling coming around 17, 18, 19 on their first playoff hole. They had a little nerves going through them. I haven't seen them like that in what was supposed to be a friendly game. So the rivalry never dies.
I'm just really pleased that Mary Sue doesn't play golf, so I'm in good shape.
We were going in that direction.
I know you were. You need to find a different sport for her. Well, thank you both for being here. And
well,
Casey, welcome back to Michigan State.
Thank you very much.
That was a conversation with Michigan State's two golf coaches. Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll coaches the ladies, and Casey Lubon coaches the men. They were talking with Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis and Michigan State University President Luana Simon. To hear the conversation again, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the Michigan State University Alumni Association. And if you're the parent of a Spartan, there's no better gift you can give than a lifetime membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. Joining the MSUAA family opens the doors to our network of over 500,000 Spartans who'll help you feel right at home wherever you go, who can help connect you with Spartans on the inside, who can help you grow in your career. People who give you special treatment just because you're a Spartan. And an investment in a life membership in the MSU Alumni Association doesn't just add value to your Spartan life. It helps Spartans everywhere build more competitive skill sets and move more quickly in the direction of their dreams. Learn more about an MSUAA life membership online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The Michigan State University Alumni Association. Your personal network for life.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, it's a real pleasure to welcome to Greening of the Great Lakes, Bell Demmer. Bell is the president and CEO of the Lansing-based Demmer Corporation. He's also executive vice president for the venerable Boone and Crockett Club. Bell, it's good to see you again.
Kirk, great to be here.
Bill, there are two things, I don't need to tell you this, but our listeners need to know this. There are two things that are near and dear to your heart and to your family's heart. Michigan State University is one, and your commitment to wildlife conservation, particularly North American game. Your passion for both is exemplified in the superb John and Marnie Demmer Shooting Sports Education and Training Center at MSU and the unique partnership that Michigan State has with Boone and Crockett. Let's take these two things one at a time. First of all, the Demmer Center. What was the impetus for establishing the Demmer Center?
I'd been a member of Boone and Crockett for several years, and I was learning just how profound their endowed scholarship programs were with endowed chairs at the University of Montana and one at Texas A&M. And I said, my God, I said, if there is a university in the Midwest that could use a Boone or Crockett chair, it's Michigan State. I asked several of the the people at the club, had they thought about Michigan State as a place for a Boone and Crockett chair. And they said, my God, that's top of our list. So I checked with two other Michigan members, Maury Stevens and Jake Schinners, both out of Saginaw, to see if they would help me raise the funds to bring to Michigan State a Boone and Crockett chair. But then I needed to talk to someone at Michigan State. And I had known Dr. Bill Taylor a little bit, who was the head of the Fisheries and Wildlife Division at the time, School of Fisheries and Wildlife. And I called him for lunch. And when I broached the subject of the Boone and Crockett chair, he almost fell out of his chair because he was there looking at me with an inch full of pamphlets on a shooting sports facility that he wanted to bring to Michigan State. And so it's difficult to separate both the chair and the shooting sports facility because they both happened at the same time. We kicked off the run for the chair, you know, before we did the shooting sports center, and that's been a real thrill. We'll talk about that later. But my family and our business, we've had a run of pretty good luck over the last decade, and we thought it was an opportunity for us to give back, you know, not just to Lansing but to Mid-Michigan and from a family of Spartans to give back to a university that we love so much. And so as we talked more to Bill Taylor and to Jordan Burroughs, who was really his point person on running this this program, it seemed to make wonderful sense, both for the legacy of our Boone and Crockett Club to protect the opportunity to hunt and fish and to maintain wildlife habitat for this and future generations. Coming in a state like Michigan that was suffering more than any other state relative to loss of jobs and economy, we thought as a family and also in the work I do with Lansing Economic Area Partners that this would be an opportunity to help promote our natural resources and access to our natural resources and help build economy in Mid-Michigan.
Well, the Demmer Center is, as I understand it, not only a world-class facility, but it's the largest of its kind in the United States, and it's been an immediate success on the campus of Michigan State University. But one of the motivations, clearly, is to get young people back involved in shooting sports.
Our family has had a passion to develop young people. I mean, I've got two sons that I raised hunting and fishing, and the center really reaches out to the Boy Scouts, to FFA, to a lot of young women. I've been really shocked at the number of young women's clubs and young professionals that come out to the club for bonding experiences, doing things that they've never done before. So it's having an impact far greater than we thought it would have, and so we're really thrilled.
Well, your own personal commitment to wildlife conservation goes way back, and you do serve as the executive vice president of Boone and Crockett. For our listeners who may not be as familiar with Boone and Crockett, what is the organization, where did it come from, and what are its major objectives?
Teddy Roosevelt, in 1887, assembled a group primarily of New Englanders, mostly from New York City, who loved to hunt, loved to fish, most of whom had spent a great deal of time out in the western mountain states, which is really the home to a significant part of our big game and our big game habitat, recognized that the majority of big game were on today's level of endangered, were almost endangered. Buffalo were down to 540 buffalo. The elk herd was decimated. Pronghorn antelope were about decimated. Our white-tailed deer through market hunting had almost evaporated east of the Mississippi. And Teddy said, we got to do something. And so he assembled a group of people, 13 or 14, to lay the groundwork for the Boone and Crockett Club, which is now limited to 100 regular voting members who were influential, who were connected politically, and who also had a passion for wildlife. And through the efforts of the club from 1887 through the war years, they did profound things through legislation and lobbying to create legislation like the Lacey Act that eliminated the market hunting of deer by making it illegal to transport wild game for illegal purposes across state lines. Members who really were activists promoted and lobbied to bring in Lassen National Park, Yosemite National Park, and Glacier National Park. The club lobbied the government to help states set up their own fish and game departments so that each state could manage under federal guidelines, in particular those game that cross state boundaries, regulate harvest and help create budgets that could allow them to manage habitat.
One thing that was sort of interesting, and this comes back to your two passions, but the Boone and Crockett Club really helped to democratize hunting and fishing sports, which used to be the exclusive domain and pretty much of the wealthy, just like the land-grant university system became an educational opportunity for the working-class people of the United States. So in many ways, Boone and Crockett and the land-grant system or the development of land-grant universities are linked historically.
Yeah, no question about it. The Merrill Act actually established the land-grant universities, and it was through these land-grant universities that began to develop departments that that actually started to develop managers to manage wild game population. The first fishery and wildlife department was started at the University of Wisconsin under the directorship of Aldo Leopold, who was really the father of today's environmental movement, also a Boone and Crockett member.
Bill, I want to congratulate you and your family on the establishment of the Shooting Sports Center at Michigan State University, and also for all the work that Boone and Crockett has done on behalf of Michigan State University as well.
Kurt, it's been just a thrill to be here, and my family bleeds green, and it's just so great to be connected to the university in so many wonderful ways. Thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts.
I've been talking with Bill Demmer, who is the president and CEO of the Lansing-based Demmer Corporation. Bill, it's great to see you again.
You too. Thank you, Chris.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com. You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at spartanpodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to a half a million Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association. Your personal network for life.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
This is an association of the three research universities in Michigan to really collaborate on a deeper level than we have in the past and highlight for ourselves and for the region and for the nation the strength in technology, innovation, new research, investment that we think is going to help change the Michigan economy.
That's University of Michigan President Mary Sue Coleman.
The mission of the URC is no less than to help transform the Michigan economy and to make this a vibrant place that young people will want to come and stay, that businesses will want to be in, because we are a place where a lot is happening and we have the brain power for the new economy. It's here. It's in Michigan. We just need to tap it.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
So Michigan is vibrant. Michigan has all these things, and we want to signal that to the entire world.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
Well, one of the things we want listeners to know is how connected we are, that we're in a response mode mode of addressing real-life problems in the real world here in Michigan.
Dr. Steve Pepke leads MSU Ag Bio Research.
Well, we're everywhere. We're the face of MSU across the state in the local communities with infrastructure and research expertise to address those local problems. MSU Ag Bioresearch is the research engine that undergirds the food and agricultural industry in the state, that undergirds our natural resource usage, recreational usages of sport, fishing, forestry, all of those things. And, of course, with the recent interest in renewable energy, we have in a very big way moved into this arena as well.
MSU Ag Bioresearch.
I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, relocating to a new job or a new city is always a challenge. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, wherever you go, you'll have an instant circle of friends on hand to help you get settled and get connected. With more than 100 clubs and affiliates around the world, there's a Spartan in just about every city. And as an MSU Alumni Association member, you'll quickly feel right at home. Wherever you go, community, connections, careers, and class, four great reasons to visit alumni.msu.edu today to activate your membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. That's alumni.msu.edu, the Michigan State University Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, we've heard from Bill Demmer of the Demmer Corporation about the Demmer Shooting Sports Facility at Michigan State University and Boone and Crockett. And now we're going to talk to a couple more MSU folks who are intimately involved in both the Shooting Sports Center and have been involved with Boone and Crockett for some time. William Taylor, University Distinguished Professor in Global Fisheries Sustainability. Welcome back to the program, Bill.
Thank you, Kirk. Always great to be here with you.
And we also have, new to the program, Jordan Burrows, who is the very first Boone and Crockett Wildlife Outreach Specialist at Michigan State University. Welcome.
Thank you, Kirk.
Bill, let's start with you. Not only do you have the endowed chair, but there are many other components to your relationship with Boone and Crockett. You have special programs for students. You have visiting lecture series. I mean, there are a whole plethora of activities that have spun out of these original meetings that you had with Bill Demmer and others.
When we set up the relationship around conservation, a key component was the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. And it really sprung from a partnership we had called the Partnership for Ecosystem Research and Management, which a lot of people talk to us about PERM. And because we had learned to be great partners, it also included our NGO, our non-government organizations, partners that came to bear with us. And from these, we really learned an awful lot about what is needed in the country, what's needed in the state to move forward on conservation, getting a better stewardship principle, and how to recruit and retain people more. But we did this intentionally, not looking just at one department, but we're looking at the entire land grant aspect of teaching, research, and outreach. And how do we best meld that across the campus with our NGO partners and with our state agency and federal agency managers? And so it was intentional. And it would be all because we started out with John Robertson in the Fisheries Division, George Burgoyne in Wildlife Division, and later Becky Humphreys, that came to bear.
A major thrust of the Boone and Crockett and the Demmer educational programs, at least one major thrust, is to influence policy as it relates to conservation. And that's a huge emphasis in this program, which makes it rather unique, perhaps, among fisheries and wildlife departments around the country.
Yes, we chose, when we sat down to figure out what was the endowed chair's thrust would be, we knew that we wanted the science policy interface. It's what really Michigan State and the land-grant institutions do really well at. They create knowledge to disseminate knowledge for people to act differently, and including our policymakers. And so we really hit that chord. And then we also said, how does fish and wildlife add to the prosperity and quality of life in the state of Michigan and in the nation? And so we combine the idea of prosperity, the business of ecosystem, goods, governance, and services with our very quantitative wildlife chair that we've got, Bill Porter. And we took him from Syracuse, and he's been an excellent addition to us here, and we are very, very excited about that. Jordan has been the key, as you'll hear, in terms of almost everything we had. One of the things is our shooting sports center that you've referred to. As we were going through the needs in the state, the needs for the future of wildlife, Kirk, you know I grew up out in the outdoors, and shooting sports was important to me. And so we noticed that one way to hook kids and adults is to have a facility which would be state-of-the-art, that would encourage them to understand that shooting sports was a viable recreational activity and added to their sense of being. And so we went ahead and built this, thanks to the Dummer and a whole bunch of other people that went through and made this. And a key partner in this has always been the state agency, the NGO community, and Michigan State University at all levels. And I think that's a great thing about our partnership. Our partnerships, we are really partners. We are. This is truly a marriage where when people get together to influence conservation, we do it as a unit, as a group. And we talk about what are the needs, what are the do a SWOT analysis of the strength, the weaknesses, the opportunity, and threats. And we talk to each other about what it is that we need to do and how we best achieve it. And that's been really the strength.
Well, great segue to Jordan Burroughs talking about forging partnerships. I mean, you have this young, enthusiastic, first ever Boone and Crockett Wildlife Outreach Specialist at Michigan State University. Jordan, tell our listeners about some of the programs, the exciting programs that you're involved in.
Thank you, Kirk. I'm very excited to tell you about an innovative program that we're developing in partnership with Michigan United Conservation Clubs, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, and Michigan State University called Gourmet Gone Wild. It's basically where it's an innovative program where we're connecting to young professionals across the state of Michigan and introducing them to conservation through food. What's better than local food, local fish, local wild game, paired with local Michigan beers and wines? We're teaching folks about conservation in general, what anglers and hunters are doing to support conservation in Michigan. We're also talking about the health benefits of eating wild game and wild fish caught or harvested right here in Michigan.
Well, with this program, you're not only tapping into the hunting, shooting, fishing sports, but you're also really tapping into this whole movement towards local foods, Michigan produced. So it sounds like it's a win-win program.
Definitely a win-win program, and we're happy to have Boone and Crockett as well as part of this partnership.
Well, you've got a lot of partners, but what's been the response to the program initially?
We've had amazing response. We've hosted an event here in Lansing with the Lansing Young Professionals. We had about 150 people attend the event. We had amazing reviews, and we're getting ready to host another event next month in April with the Grand Rapids Young Professional Association. So we have several other events in the works. We're going to be working with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources to also develop additional programs linking this conservation message to food. So be on the lookout for future events in your area.
Well, linking to food is great, but you also have a whole impetus on getting young people back out into nature. Some of your educational programs designed to encourage men and women, young and old, to get back involved in nature through shooting sports, through hunting and fishing.
That's correct. I do want to talk briefly about a program that Boone and Crockett started. It's called Conservation Across Boundaries. It's actually a program to teach educators about how natural resource conservation issues are tied to biology, ecology, history, and the culture of North American landscapes. It's really the systems perspective. They teach the teachers, and then the teachers go back and use this information in their classrooms. And this is a nationwide program. So we've been very supportive of the CAB program that Boone and Crockett has developed. Here in Michigan, right in our own backyard, we have the Michigan 4-H Great Lakes and Natural Resources Camp, which, Kirk, I'm sure you're very familiar with. But it's an amazing program, summer program for teens, 13 to 15-year-olds, to improve their knowledge about the Great Lakes natural resource ecology and management right here in Michigan.
Jordan, when you're talking to teachers or to young people or to parents, and you're trying to encourage them to get their kids out from behind the computers, out of the house, out into the, what are your big selling points for making that happen?
It's just being in the outdoors. It's embracing nature. It's getting out and understanding and learning more about nature. I'm originally from a suburban environment and didn't do a whole lot into nature until I got older in life. And really seeing the benefits of being outdoors, both from a health perspective and from an experience perspective, getting more out of our natural resources here in Michigan.
And the Fisheries and Wildlife Department at Michigan State University has, in my opinion, been one of the more innovative academic departments that I've seen not only in Michigan but anywhere. But without that ability to reach out, to embrace multi-disciplines, to look at Boone and Crockett as potential donors. I mean, a lot of this would never have happened.
That's exactly correct. Boone and Crockett, as well as the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, has been amazing for Michigan State University Department of Fisheries and Wildlife and Michigan State University.
Let's take it back to Bill Taylor for a concluding question here. Bill, as you look forward and where all these initiatives might go, I know you had visions for these things for a long time. Do you see that vision being fulfilled? Do you still worry that we need to do more to get our young people back involved in hunting and fishing and other outdoor activities?
I think we can always do more to get all generations and all age groups out involved in the outdoors. Not to have the attention deficit that we have given nature, that people do not get out and enjoy it and interact with it the way we did, Kirk. And I think it's really important that we understand there's a combination of technology and the outdoors that are always going to go together, and that it's not either or, it's a synergy of it. One thing I've learned from Jack Liu and the Center for Systems Integration and Sustainability has been really how to couple human and natural systems. And I think that is a future, how we couple that, taking the best of both and having it work together with our partners in a new way, in fashions that we haven't even thought about today, such as we never thought about the Internet growing up. How do you use that for good and for people to have better stewardship and more sustainable behaviors so that we have fish and wildlife for the future and we have better management? I think that's really the key.
Well, with the Demmer Center and all the outreach that's being done with Boone and Crockett, the Endowed Chair, the Scholars Program, and all these other initiatives, you're certainly making a great start. I've been talking with Bill Taylor, University Distinguished Professor in Global Fisheries Sustainability, and also Jordan Burroughs, the very first Boone and Crockett Wildlife Outreach Specialist at Michigan State University. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com. You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at spartanpodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at spartanpodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.